Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everybody, and as always, thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria. I'm Victoria Gaither, television journalist of 17 years. Michael, I've worked so hard being a newscaster, providing everyone with so much information throughout my TV career. But I must say, At Home with Victoria is kind of, I would say, my favorite thing that I've done as a journalist. Can I say that really loud, or should I hush when I say that?
No, of course you should. Sing it through the rafters, sister. Sing out, Louise. Come on, you know exactly how to do this.
I know, but the problem is, trust me, if I start singing, I think people would stop listening, so they don't really want to do that. Unless it's rap, because Michael knows that I can do a little rap. So
Victoria
rap,
is a
I'm
rapper,
good.
Everybody. Absolutely.
Yes, that is my hidden talent amongst things. But listen, a few things to talk about before we get to our show, and I'm so excited the Divas are going to be on tonight. Michael, I want to mention right off the top, of course, that you and I and all of our 375,000 listeners of At Home with Victoria, we are thinking about folks in D.C. at the Washington Navy Yard, the shooting that took place there. What was weird about it for me was that, you know, I was born and raised in D.C., and every single day to and from school, I always had to go by the Washington Navy Yard. So I spent a large part of my life in that neighborhood of D.C. In fact, my bus stop that I took for public transportation, one of the stops was in front of the Navy Yard, so I know that area very well. And I just wanted to mention that because you and I do so many appearances and we do so much in D.C. that I thought that that was important.
Yeah, I know it was. It was a very, very, very horrendous Monday morning. I believe 12 confirmed dead so far. And, you know, I've never been to the Naval Yard, but I can only imagine the security that I've gone through, even visiting museums. The security in the Naval Yard must have been really, really tight. So something must have happened, you know, to set everything off. But our love and prayers go out for them. And, Vic, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, I only posted 181 photos of me hanging around in the Atlantic City Miss America pageant parade. I kind of
yes,
got a little overzealous. Yeah, the show
did.
The show us your shoes. There were some really good shoes there, I will have to tell you, but it was a fantastic thing. Did you watch the pageant at all, Vic?
No, I did not get a chance to watch the pageant, but you know what, I didn't need to watch it because you were there in Atlantic City. So At Home with Victoria was there. You were right there on the boardwalk. And you seem like you had a really great spot because you got some really good pictures. But more importantly, you had the opportunity to talk with some of the contestants, right?
Yeah, I positioned myself right by Ravel at the end of the boardwalk kind of a thing. So it was before everybody kind of got into the trail of the parade. So I got to have a little one-on-one really quickly with each one of them, wish them congratulations and luck. I did miss go ahead and seeing Lance Bass and Laura Spencer and Chris Harrison, but it was really lovely to meet every one of them, all 52 of them. Believe me, you know what, I'm not really a big fan of parades, but this one was one. It was kind of special, and it was very, very interesting to go ahead and see everybody up in the pageant that night broadcast live. But more importantly, Vic, I think the queens we saw at resorts, hotel and casino, blew my mind away. This was your very first drag performance. And you know what? I think I spoiled it for you because these people are not only drag queens, they are the queens of impersonation. Vic, what was your take on seeing your first show?
Well, I have to say, in my television career, I have covered presidents. I have covered, you know, popes. I mean, I've covered some really, really big stuff. And also, you know, local community things as well. But that was my first time. I had been invited to many before, but was never able to make it. So I kind of had just sort of, I would say, mid expectations. I didn't, you know, have expectations like crazy to the roof, and I didn't have low expectations. But I have to tell you, the first thing that I noticed that just completely had my mouth wide open was just the makeup. I mean, and I think that, you know, being a woman, I love makeup, and I'm just kind of sitting there looking, thinking, God, I mean, the possible information and makeup tips that I could get from them if I could just go backstage would just really, really, really help me. I mean, the contouring, the colors, and I'm thinking, this is absolutely amazing. So to actually be there in person and, you know, to see Gary and Frank and everybody kind of do what it is that they do, you know, it is an experience that I will never, ever, ever forget. And I kind of tease Gary saying that Michael and I are now going to turn into their managers, because it's like no matter where we go for events, in the back of our mind, we're always like, oh, man, the Divas need to be here. You know, whenever we're in D.C. or Philly or wherever we are, we're constantly saying, oh, this person needs to talk to friends. They need to be here. So I feel like we're going to turn into their little pseudo managers, because I really enjoy them that much.
We're going to become their drag hags. Joining us right now is Mr. Gary D., most famously known as Miss Joan Rivers. Gary, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome to At Home, Victoria.
Thank you for having me on. How are you tonight?
Doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's one of our it's our night off, and I'm just relaxing a little bit till we get back to work tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
Well,
Gary,
you know,
let me ask you.
Victoria, yep. Michael, those are great compliments you're giving us. Thank you. The only thing is, Victoria, I wasn't wearing any makeup. I look like that all the time. that was just great light. But I just put a little blush on before I go. You know what? It's a big process getting ready. It really is. It involves a lot of effort. You know, and I mean, come on, as a female, you know, you look in the mirror at yourself when you don't have makeup on, and then you look at yourself later on when you have makeup on. Everybody looks different. They transform, and we transform into these iconic celebrities, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say that I'm working now 30 years in the business.
Congratulations.
Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary, how long has Divas Do AC been up and running at resorts?
Well, we've been working here under the name of Divas Do AC since July of 2012, and prior to that with another name from May of 2011. So we're working here for the most part, the cast. It's almost 2.5 years combined.
Wow. And that's 5 days a week?
5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. We just finished up the summer because we had to do matinees for the bus tours on Wednesday afternoon, so we were on a 6-day schedule. We've gone up to 8 shows a week already.
Mm.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And
you know what?
I
was just going to say that the whole thing is I've only seen it twice, and each time I saw it, even though there are remnants of the time before, everything does seem fresh, even the second time. So I don't know how you go ahead and keep it lively and fresh enough for yourself that you don't get bored of your own shtick during the entire show, because Joan Rivers, very iconic character, and you play her marvelously, my love. But, how do you guys go ahead and keep it fresh all the time?
Well, there is a great thing about doing live stand-up comedy is that you never know what the reaction is going to be from the audience. Every single audience is different. No two audiences are exactly alike. You know, we'll go in there on a Saturday night and we'll have, you know, 11, 20, 23-year-olds celebrating a bridal party. Then we'll go in there Sunday night and you'll have somebody celebrating their 55th or 60th wedding anniversary. So it's a whole different direction you can go. And you never, like I said, you never know the reaction. You never know what they're going to say back to you when you ask them a question. You never know what they're going to yell out. And people feel very comfortable with Joan Rivers because she's in their living rooms all the time on television, that they talk back to her. So I'm the person up there who's representing Joan Rivers in that respect. And they feel like, well, they're watching Joan Rivers, so they know her, so they yell things back.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like they sort of know what to expect from you. And Gary, I wanted to talk a little bit more about audience, because one thing that I realized, and of course I'm new, so I do nothing of what you do, but I realized when I would have to MC programs and MC so many of them that, you know, audience participation is key. Because if the audience is not into it, and if you can't put a smile on their face and make them happy, you know, it's like, oh, God, this is going to be a really long event. So I had to
absolutely,
quit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I read facial expressions. You know, we're in this great little theater, which is like an old-fashioned movie theater, and it seats a little over 300 people. And people say to me after the show, how do you know who to play with in the audience? You know, how do you know who to go to and ask a question? And you read their facial expression. You read their body language. If they look like they don't want to be bothered, I go over to the person next to them or the person behind them in the next row, and I know to stay away from that person. But for the most part, people are very receptive to it. I think that a lot of times people don't realize what kind of a show they're going to see, what it's all about. They're a little apprehensive at the beginning, and especially the men, they'll sit there and they're kind of like a little shy at the beginning. By the end of the show, they're jumping up and clapping and having a great time.
Yeah. And that was also something I wanted to talk about with the men, because I think women are a lot easier when it comes to sitting there and watching you do your craft and do what you do. But, you know, some men can probably be stoic and think, oh, I'm not going to like this. I don't know why she dragged me here tonight. But actually,
absolutely,
in the end, they
absolutely
actually do change their mind. What does that do for you? I mean, that must make you feel pretty good.
It's a great accomplishment. It's a great accomplishment. And, you know, after the show, we do the meet and greet where we sign our programs and take pictures with the people. And they say things to us that are so, like, touching. Like, people have told us they've seen the show 55, 60 times. So that's a great compliment.
Wow.
But, you know, people are going through an illness or something, and they say, you know what, I come down here once a month, and I make sure that I come and see the show because I it makes me feel better about what I'm going through. You hear everybody's story, and it's fun, and it's a great thing to know that you've touched their lives through the show. You've made them laugh. You made them have a good time. You've entertained them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, and that was a funny story because I was sitting here working on shows for the fall season, and my good friend Kelly had come over just to have a glass of wine. We tend to drink a little bit of Chardonnay once in a while, and so I happened to have the Divas Do AC program on the table and stuff, so she picked it up, and she says, oh, my God, what is this? I said, well, it's what we saw, you know, with Bob and Victoria in AC and stuff like that. And I says, it's only running for a limited time. It's closing on the 27th. And she says, well, why don't we go? This is on a Thursday night. She says, why don't we go up tomorrow after work? And I says, well, fantastic. Well, we didn't know it was Miss America season. So, of course, the prices of the hotel rooms were outrageous. But quite frankly, they were blown away, had no idea what they were going to see. But we're really, I was so excited to introduce them to this level of artistry, which is fantastic, Gary. I mean, the entire cast, Frankie, Eddie, and Phil, Carlos, Jason, who can't make it tonight, just a wonderful show, 90 minutes of nonstop. And for $25, I mean, you can't beat that.
Right, I know. Where else are you going to see all that entertainment for only $25?
Yeah.
You escape in all the illusion and everything, and the music and the comedy. And it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. And that's all it's ever meant to be. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've worked in these productions for years, and I still every single night before I go out there, I still get like this little kind of butterfly in my stomach, and then I go. I start with the shtick, and I say to myself, "Oh, here I go. I'm off and running."
Yeah. No, absolutely. Hey, just so everybody knows, how long does it? I saw the little snippet on YouTube with you actually with Joan and Melissa. How long does it really take you to get Joan ready?
I would say the total process between the makeup, the nails, the hosiery, the body padding and everything, about an hour and a half.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the hair, you got to, you know, freshen up the hair. Yeah, it's about the fake fingernails, all of that stuff.
Speaking of the hair and clothes, because I've got about 25 questions that came in prior to the show with people that wanted to ask you. And most of it was really about the hair and makeup. So talk about the wigs. Do you create them yourself? Do you have a special place where you go buy them? And then tie in also an answer about Joan Rivers, and do you kind of watch her hairstyle over the years, obviously, and mimic that?
Yeah. Usually we order our wigs from a place in Hollywood. And Phil Craig, who works in the show, is Liza Minnelli. He styles my hair sometimes. Diana Von Zeck, who has been a hairdresser to the stars in this town for many years, styles them too. So I also have styled my own wigs. And it's amazing, you know, with Joan's hair, she does a lot of, she basically wears the same style, but she does a lot of different variations of it. So I have to change up sometimes. But everybody basically knows her for that classic Joan look. And it's great that, you know, for her as an entertainer, that a whole new generation now knows her from the Fashion Police.
True.
You know, I've got 20-year-olds there, and they say, oh, yeah, we love her. We watch her on the Fashion Police all the time. So it's great that she keeps herself out there all the time. And by the way, in June, she turned 80 years old. God bless her, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And she doesn't look a day over 79.
She's still doing her stand-up act as if she were 35 or 40. It's amazing the energy that
she
has on. It's unbelievable. I say to myself, look at her. She's amazing. And she just wants to keep going. She never wants to stop. God bless. That's great.
Absolutely.
And what was some of the other questions, Victoria? I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
No worries.
It was about just the hair. And, of course, everyone wanted to know about the makeup. But specifically, do you do your own makeup? And also,
Yes, we do. We do all our own makeup. Well, for myself, I have very thick eyebrows, so I put glue on my eyebrows to cover them up. You'll see it. You can see that on the video clip. And then I draw the fine brow, the very thin brow over it. And, you know, it's heavy foundation. It's a loose powder. A lot of it's like the kind of theatrical type makeup, like Krylon we use for our foundation because it covers the beard line.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy enough. Like we just can't go to the store and get, you know, something really like fine that any woman could wear. We have to have something a little bit heavier to cover.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then it's all the shading, the contouring, all of that stuff. We draw it on. We draw it on with a brush. It's like your face is a canvas, and you just take the paintbrush and just keep going all over it, and you make yourself look like the character.
That's amazing.
Yes. Cover girl, don't cover boy. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to say that. I was going to say that name, but you said it. You beat me to it. That's a good joke, though.
Well, it is. I can't even claim it as mine. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race all the time. I think those queens are fantastic. But
how many times
have you actually been able to go ahead and meet up with Joan and stuff? I see that she's actually sent you some personal messages. Would you call Joan a friend?
I would. She has been very, very kind to me over the years, and I say it in the show, she took like a personal interest in what I do. I think she saw something there, and she hired me once to be on her daytime talk show. She hired me once to perform at one of her holiday parties for her office, her jewelry company in New York. When she was doing the Celebrity Apprentice, the last task is throw your best party, and at 9:30 on a Saturday morning, I got a call from her assistant. I was still in bed because I had a gig the night before, and they requested that I go into New York and, you know, film the Celebrity Apprentice. And I thought she was going to say, with the Saturday, I thought she was going to say, you know, Monday or Tuesday. She's like, no, 4 o'clock today. So needless to say, I just bolted up. I unpacked my suitcase, threw everything in the washing machine, dried it, and then repacked, and then went into New York, and she won. And it was one of the main reasons why she won was because her party was so much fun. And she was forever grateful. And I was offered money for the day, and I decided to donate my day's pay to God's Love We Deliver, which feeds terminally ill people. So it was a great thing. We raised great money, and Joan Rivers won. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's fantastic and classy, darling. I really have to applaud you on that.
Well, I say to myself, thank God I've never, you know, had to, you know, need it. So I believe in giving back. And when you have the opportunity, you do it. Yeah, all of my encounters with her have been very, very positive, very, very pleasant. She's quite a lady. She really is.
No, she's a class act, absolutely. And I watched Joan and Melissa for the seasons that it was on, and it was really nice to go ahead and actually see a portion of her that really is over the top, but a portion of her, too, that still is very pro-family, very, very pro-gay, which, I mean, she's been a gay crusader since the 1960s, so, you know, she's an absolute pioneer.
She was one of the first. And people, she said that people around here couldn't understand why she was playing gay clubs in Greenwich Village. It wasn't the proper thing for people. People didn't think it was the proper thing to do, but she did it anyway. And she has remained very loyal to the community, very loyal.
Absolutely.
Well, you know,
well,
I was thinking as when you guys were talking about her and her support within the gay community, if you really think about it, because Michael and I, Gary, covered the DOMA, and we had a show on the Defense of Marriage Act and the Supreme Court and all of that. Really, you know, a lot of where the gay community is in America right now is a tribute to people like Joan Rivers back in the day when, you know, gays couldn't go to different clubs or restaurants. And, you know, then you had these people like Joan who supported them. So, you know, I just think of, like, you know, so much of that credit. I'm sure a lot of that credit goes to the Crusaders of today. But a lot of it, to me, in my mind, really goes to the Crusaders of the past, because they're the ones, like Joan, that really laid the foundation in order for people to get to where we are today.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And I think it's great that, you know, high-powered celebrities are coming out completely. I think it's great that this young man who's a pro wrestler just recently, just came out, and he said, "I just had to say it. I had to say what was on my mind." He was on Ellen recently, and he thanked Ellen. He said, "You were like an inspiration to me." You know, that's who you are, and you say who you are, and that's all there is to it. It's a great thing. We've come a long way. Thank God.
Yeah.
And shows like ours, I always felt that helped break down some. Like you said about, like, the men coming in and being, you know, uptight about a show like this, it puts people a little more at ease, because they see it's just there for entertainment, and that's all there is to it. It's fun. It's all done to make people laugh and have a good time. I could tell you a story that happened years ago. I don't know. I know that you have other, you know, the other people from the cast that are going to call in. I don't want to take up your time, but I could tell you a very good story. It happened years ago in Florida. We were playing a dinner theater, and behind us was a motel. There were a bunch of construction workers from out of state that were doing work on the Disney property. And we'd come to work holding our wigs, and they would, you know, make little comments here and there. And then one night, one of them came in by himself. He had such a good time at our show, he told all of his friends. The next night, like 40 of them came in, and they had a blast. The next day I saw them, they're like, "Could you sign a picture for my wife so when I get back home in a couple of weeks, I can help?" You know, and that's how positive things happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, with one person. I guess he must have gone back and told, "Hey guys, you gotta see this. This is a lot of fun." And they did, and they were so great to us from there on in. There was no more nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, it all starts at grassroots, and we all know another person that starts at grassroots unbelievably is Miss Jenny from the Block, played by the fantastic Carlos Rodriguez, who is now joining us on the line. It's Carlos's birthday, everybody, so let's wish him a big happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Carlos, and welcome to At Home with Victoria.
Thank you. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi,
good.
Carlos. Michael,
how are you guys doing?
Carlos, listen, I think we're going to give you something that we rarely ever do, but since it's your birthday, Michael, let's give him official clapping, okay?
Yeah. Let's give Carlos
a clap. I love
claps.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Carlos, as Jennifer Lopez and also Madonna, you are also flawless each performance. I enjoyed you very much. You have every nuance of Miss J-Lo down to a T, especially with her fixing with her little earpiece and everything like that.
I know.
That was so charming, absolutely, and even her little stance and stuff. When did you start doing J-Lo, Carlos?
Well, it just not too long ago, actually. It became more of a, you know, I wanted to try it out. It's been almost probably 5 years, but it's been a development. And I know Madonna has been kind of my main sort of personality that I've been doing. But I, for some reason, that just came as I experimented with my face, you know, creating, you know, new makeup look and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty awesome that, you know, as far as now, it has become what it's become. It's been awesome, just you know, developing her and, you know, starting her like crazy. You know,
well, true,
patting that booty all the time.
Well, not only patting the booty, but really the contour. And you know what? I don't mean to be a big cow here, but the contouring and the facial makeup, again, we've commented on that. But you seriously, dude, you look exactly like J-Lo. Has she commented either on Twitter or on Facebook of your work?
No. I know that there's a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends in Vegas who have mentioned me to her dancers and that kind of stuff, but I don't think I've really, you know, I've never come across to actually meeting her or anything like that. It'd be awesome if she could see, you know, that yeah. my act, but I don't know. I just, you know, I know I have the high cheekbones, that's a Latino thing, you know. I'm Salvadorian and I have that, just a very Latino thing. And actually, when people see me playing Madonna, they're like, "Oh, wait a minute, you're Latino," you know. But I paint like a white woman, and then, but when it becomes J-Lo, it becomes that too. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Do you enjoy doing J-Lo over Madonna, or Madonna definitely is your mainstay?
I'm enjoying both. Actually, you know, yeah. I think Madonna has obviously, I've been doing that for quite a long time now, and it's kind of become a trade, and, you know, but with J-Lo, it's, I'm having so much fun. She's just fun and free and always, you know, a dancer on stage, you know, it's sexy and all that stuff. And it just, you know, it's really playful, you know,
yeah.
As opposed to Madonna, when she's very, you know, when Madonna, she's very structured and, you know, it's very to the T, and her dancers have to be with her. Mm-hmm. But with J-Lo, it's just sexiness and freeness, and it's, you know, it just brings a lot of liveness to it, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. What's it like working with Joan Rivers?
Joan Rivers? Well, I love just hearing the speakers when, you know, Joan is trying to, you know, get the crowd going, and I mean, there's always laughing downstage and in the dressing rooms, because there's so much that she brings to, you know, to the audience to get us pumped up for the show, and it's pretty awesome. I love Gary.
Yeah. And Gary, what is it like working with Carlos?
Carlos is a very, very, as a matter of fact, it was just a year ago this week that he came into town, and none of us really had, we have just heard of him from Las Vegas. He's a very professional man. He's very nice. He's a gentleman. He's a real gentleman, just definitely.
Yeah.
Very quiet, very, very hardworking, and a lot of people don't realize that in any show, especially a female impersonation show, there's another show going on backstage, because we have so much fun. I mean, it's a whole reality show that really should be filmed, because it's just, we laugh a lot. We really do.
Yeah, there's just so much fun going on backstage, drama or fun or people having their own issues. But, you know, it's a whole different show backstage. And
I think honestly
I think honestly that
would seriously be something. I mean, I don't know who we need to talk to. I'm sure I could think of a few networks, but that would be
It's a whole reality
show. Yeah.
And the years that I'm working in all these different reviews, it's kind of on the same order, but it is. It's still a lot of fun. It's a really fun job,
yeah.
I must
yeah.
say.
Yeah, it's definitely for sure. I mean, everybody who is involved, as far as like wardrobe and dancers,
mm-hmm.
everybody's interacting with each other, and there's funny moments. There's like, you know, just everybody's having their own kind of sort of day, and
right.
we all hear about it, and we all connect to it, and it's
well,
pretty
there,
fun.
Carlos and Gary, there's a gentleman that I know. Who worked in television news. We worked at different television stations, but he does a lot of stuff with Bravo, meaning like he goes to Bravo and I don't know if you've ever seen Bravo, that show about the sisters that sell these cupcakes in Georgetown in D.C.
Right.
It's a real popular
right.
place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was his idea, and he's also the executive producer or first or second in charge at what's the Michael, my favorite newscaster on CNN? His
Les
name
Matt.
Is with the gray hair.
Cooper?
No, not Wolf. No, definitely not Wolf. No, the younger guy.
Anderson Cooper.
No, his mother is Lawyer Vanderbilt. What is his
yes,
name?
Yes, Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
Anyway, Terrence, you see Terrence on television all the time because he's the executive producer of Anderson's show. So I was saying all that to say is that I would love to email him because I think that would be great to pitch a reality show of the behind the scenes of what you guys do, right? That would be a great show.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
It's really a show backstage. I mean, if you were to sit with us, I mean, we usually, some of us come 3 hours or 2 hours before the show to get in makeup. And while all that's happening, you know, there's just like people running around with wigs. There's just like powder in the air. There's just like dancers, you know, halfway naked trying to get ready. I mean, it's a whole circus. It's something else, you know. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, we all know that life is a cabaret, and that is absolutely what that sound means. And with that, Miss Liza Minnelli is going ahead and be joining us, Miss Phil Craig. Phil,
hi, everybody.
Hello,
hi,
darling.
Am I on? Okay. It took me a while to find you guys.
We're here.
Well, now we're right here.
Okay. You forgot to add
Phil,
the music. When we're putting makeup on, there's always music playing. Always.
Here we
absolutely.
Go.
And Phil gets the clap as well. Phil, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, professionally, like 28 years. And
wow.
I started 32 years ago. It was a contest. I did the contest. I won the contest, and I started getting phone calls, and it kind of just snowballed from there.
Wow. Now, Liza is not the only character you do.
No, I'm also known for doing Nancy Sinatra. I've done Shania Twain in the past. Yeah, I've done Shania Twain in the past and Barbara Streisand. But Liza's
and
the real Stone Cold.
And the nanny.
And the nanny. Yes, the nanny. She's my girl.
God bless you.
That's funny.
She's my
comfort.
The
thing I really enjoyed about the entire show, and like I said, Victoria's been spoiled because now she'll compare all drag to this, but it's the fact that in regular drag shows, someone comes up for the 3.5 minutes and does their number and stuff. What I really enjoyed about the show is that you all did a medley of hits of the artists you impersonate, and with bang on lip syncing. And believe me, you know, I am that cow in the audience looking and watching and stuff like that. But you know, I will give kudos to everybody. But Miss Phil, I tell you, you had every little ankle kick that Liza had ever did. And please, I mean, I have been gay for a very long time, so I've watched me from Liza, Bette, Judy, and Barbara. And seriously, I have to say, Phil, I mean, your performance is absolutely stellar. How do you absolutely mimic that? You must have practiced in a mirror for days. No, I'm just kidding.
Years. You know, learning something new is a task because what I usually do is I'll set the video where I can watch it in the mirror and I just watch it and I do it. And she moves left, I move left, and she moves right, and then I add the little hand flicks or, you know, like you say, ankle things or whatever. Yeah. I'm not a trained dancer, so all of that, you know, when I'm out there dancing every night, I'm like, oh, please don't let me trip on anything. You know, it's all going. Everything's going through my head. And trying to be her, you know, because she's a trained dancer. I'm not.
Well, Phil, this is Victoria. And again, thank you so much for being here. And I have to tell you, when I was, of course, sitting there watching all of you perform, I think my mouth was open the widest because I really felt like that Liza Minnelli was standing right in front of me dancing. I mean, I was like, you have got to be. I mean, I think I said the whole time, I kept saying, you have got to be kidding me. Because I don't know if you heard the top of the show, but, you know, as a journalist, I have covered many, many, many things in my lifetime. But that was my first drag show that I have ever gone to. I've been invited.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah,
that was my first. I've been invited to many of them, but, you know, whether it was work or other engagements, I just simply was never able to go. So now, of course, Michael says that from here on out, all of you have spoiled me. So, you know, if I ever go again, the bar has been set, and that, you know, he doesn't want to have to hear me sitting there next to him snickering about, you know, how horrible these other people are compared, you know, to all of you. But I just wanted to say that it was just such a treat. And I'm the type of person, when I really, really love something, like, I can't keep my mouth shut. I think that's, you know, sort of being a journalist. So I was talking to a young lady at the National Press Club, and I said, hey, if you ever in your life need impersonators, I said, I know a group of people that you would love to come to the press club. And then I thought, how fun would that be? You know, the National Press Club is sort of this place of all these sort of stuck-up journalists, you know, from across, you know, national and local, and people that, you know, are newspapers. And I thought, Michael, what fun would that be if I invited all of them to the press club? Like, I could completely see this. It would be hilarious. I would love every second of it.
Awesome. Well, plus, I think they'd actually go ahead and pay a pretty penny, better more than $25, to the National Press Club. I mean, Washington's a hot mess for expensive cities, I'm telling you that much. But, Phil, you've met Liza numerous times and stuff like that. What's her take on you? I knew you guys get asked this question 1,000 times, but what's Liza's interpretation of your impersonation?
Well, the very first time I met her, I handed her a picture of me, and she thought it was a picture of her that I wanted her to autograph. And she said, I remember this picture. And I said, that's not you, that's me. And she went, oh, my God, you look just like me. So she's a little touchy about it in ways I don't think I wouldn't want to show up dressed as her in front of her. If she sat in my audience, like, you know, to go to a party or something, if she sat in my audience and saw what I do, I hope she'd be pleased. You know, Chita Rivera is as close as I've come to having Liza herself watch me, and Chita's always thrilled when she sees me. So I always take that as like an enormous, you know, compliment. When you can hear Chita in the audience, you know, laughing with you, and, you know, you could feel she's right there with you. That's probably the most unbelievable feeling I've had on stage.
Yeah.
And Gary, I wanted to ask you, what is it like working with Phil? Phil and I have been
friends for 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of grew up together in show business. And we're from the same area in North Jersey. And we've worked a lot of different things together. But I think as far as a permanent review, the last time we worked together in a permanent review was in 1987 in Lacage in Toronto. So when we were coming down here, we said, wow, we're really going to be working together every night, five nights a week now, you know. In this new show, it's a joy. We have so much fun. I feel that the people that I work with are just all so good in each character that they do, and very professional. And when I'm making the changes, like from costume to costume after I introduce each act, I stand in the wings and I watch people from the sidelines. And some nights I'm like, oh, wow, that's my friend out there. I don't know if they say the same about me when I'm out the office of Stone River. But I say the same about them.
And let me add, this is Carlos. When I first came in to check out the show, which was probably a year today, I was able to watch the show before I was on stage. And the first time I saw Phil on stage, I was in the very back of the house, and my jaw just dropped because he was just that. I mean, he like illuminated all the way through the back, and you know, working with him has been a blessing too, because he's actually very, very nice and sweet, and he's very professional in everything he takes on the job. It's so detailed, and you know, I was amazed. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm working with this person, with anybody in the show.
That's
it was just so
thank you
so free, you know,
thank you so much.
Amazing. And I was only supposed to be in the show for 3 months, and then it became
really?
A year. Yeah, I was only for 3 months, and somehow I was able to, you know, they took me around for a while, and so
they bought they bought Carlos in to do Madonna, which was fabulous. And I think it was a bingo maybe that we did, and he did Jennifer Lopez, and that was flabbergasted me. I'm like, oh no, this has to go in. This has got to go in.
Right. And ever since then, everybody has become automatically became a family, and you know, I've been blessed to work with. Talented people like everybody in the cast.
Now, what is life going to be like when, I mean, and of course, Michael and I just, you know, have to mention this. I don't want to talk about this, but as a journalist, I must. You guys are coming up on your last show, September the 27th, and as Michael said, run, don't walk to get tickets. I mean, you know, you guys must go and see one of the final shows before they are done at the Resorts Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So, like, I don't want to get all emotional because I don't want to start crying. Michael can tell you, I'm a really bad newscaster.
She's a big crier, everybody.
Yeah, I cry too much all the time, so I promise I'll try not to cry. But, Gary, I want to start with you. What is life going to be like when the show is done? Because normally you see these guys, like, every single day. I mean, it's like family, right?
That's a very tough thing for all of us when in any cast, when you have to part company because our Patti LaBelle just left the other day, and I'm just going through like this horrible, horrible feeling of missing him. And you know, because we all do things together and laugh together and have eat together or go to the mall together, and it's tough. It's really tough. But thank God
we've all known each other for 25 and 30 years.
Most of us, yeah.
You know, except for Carlos and Jason, they're the newbies on the block. They're the new kids, but the rest of us have known each other. We bump into each other because we've all played Vegas and we've all played Atlantic City and, you know, Lake Tahoe or, you know, all these different venues. And you wind up leaving a scattering of friends around. It's hard, especially for me here. I did La Cage here from 1987 till it closed in 1994 and still resided here until 2000. So this was coming home for me. So now it's like, oh, here we go again. We got to leave the beach.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and interrupt everybody because I see Miss Patty is holding from Pennsylvania, and I know I know she gets cranky if she's put on hold for too long. So joining us the show now is Eddie Summers playing Patti LaBelle. Eddie, welcome to the show. All the girls are here. Thanks for joining in, Dolph.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
bro.
I keep looking in the hallway, thinking maybe you didn't really go home. You're still down the hallway in your room, and I'll see you at the elevator.
No, I am at home. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to hear
you. Hi,
Dolph.
Eddie, I know you're joining us. Thank you so much again. And
you're welcome.
Both Victoria and I and Kelly, Bob, Susie, and the other Bob, enjoyed you so very much. You lend a fantastic comedic interpretation of Patti that is so bang on and so fantastic. Quick question, you've been doing Patti now for how long?
About 38, 40 years.
Wow.
For a week and a half.
Yeah, I've been doing her a long time.
How did you stumble upon her love?
You know, actually, I was just doing shows like, you know, just a regular type drag queen type shows in the gay clubs. And I've always been expressive, but, you know, with Patti LaBelle, she was very flamboyant on stage and faces, expressions and hair pieces, et cetera. And I just started doing it and it just worked for me. And I just continue on with it.
Well, you do it magnificently, and I think that, you know, we were talking about what's going to happen to the entire troupe when the show closes on the 27th. Gary, Carlos, and Phil chimed in. Eddie, you've been with these gals for a year. You've traveled with them. You performed with them.
I've been with them for 2.5 years, actually, with this show.
Yeah, since they
were 2.5 years. All of us were together, yeah. Well, I can't get rid of Joan Rivers, Gary. He keeps calling me every day. I haven't got away from him.
And it keeps going to voicemail. How does that happen? All I get is voicemail. Please leave a message for.
But I miss them terribly already. We've all talked about it. And Phil, on my Facebook page, I was crying earlier because I just got my internet, and the first thing I see was Phil and I dressed together. So we played. Phil always played. He's like a DJ for our show to me. So he's playing this music, but anyway, on the Facebook page, he sent me "Someday We Be Together" by the Supreme, Donna Ross.
I always raise it. Yes, that's what I.
And
said.
I start
I
crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me, Gary, yeah, we think we're the Supremes. We just don't know which one is Donna Ross. every week we take turns being Donna Ross.
Right. Right. Somebody actually takes turns. Eddie, this is Victoria again. I want to thank you
Victoria.
Hi,
you're
for
welcome.
Taking the time to be here. But we asked this of all the of everyone else. Have you personally ever met Patti LaBelle?
Oh, please.
Yes, I work for her. Yeah, I work with her. She hired me before, so yeah, I've met her and took bunches of pictures. She's been very kind to me. Actually, on my wall in my living room, I have the gown that she did. On a Johnny Carson show, she gave it to me, and I encased it in a picture frame.
And if you call Eddie and you get his voicemail, it's Patti LaBelle, and she says to please leave a message for my friend.
Oh yeah, that's
really?
Right.
Really?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
I forgot about that, Lucille. Thank you.
I didn't. I didn't.
That is. That's absolutely awesome. So, Eddie, so right now, do you have anything that you're going to be working on that you can talk about, or are you still in the works of sort of where you're going to be?
No, I don't really have anything in the works. I'm just going to just relax and, you know, just rest a little bit. It was kind of tedious for me to do 2.5 years consistently like that because I didn't have the pleasure of going home. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so
this opportunity, Detroit, Michigan.
Wow.
The bankrupt city. I'm home, and I just want to relax for a little bit. But really,
okay.
Right now, I'm not relaxing because I'm celebrating my birthday this Sunday, and I'll be 60 years old. Well, actually, 61. Let me tell the truth, because I know Ms. Bill really lies and gonna say something. Let me tell the truth.
Why do you always accuse me of being a blabbermouth?
So we're trying to get me ready for that, and it's been tedious because the show's getting ready to close, and we're all packing and. We're finding so many things because after 2.5 years, we just accumulate so much. I mean, Carlos has only been there for a year, and from what he told me, it's got, you know, semi-new dresses. So it's a tedious process to be in shows like that in its own way. When you leave, especially when you leave people like Gary and Phil said, and Frank, we were with Frank for several years, too, so... It's really hard to break up like that. I didn't know it was going to be
so
hard.
Hard.
This time
it's
around.
Very hard.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is. It's a tough thing. It's really a tough thing. It you just get so used to each other, and you go through so much professionally and personally, especially when you're all living in the same hotel.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's
true.
like you know, Patti LaBelle was right down the hall from me.
Right. And Liza Minnelli's, you know, Jennifer Lopez across the hall, and Liza Minnelli's one floor down. It's just it's like drag hotel.
Drag hotel is right. Let's go ahead and round out the audience with the only male, the only Devo in the crowd, Mr. Frankie Bonifaci, joining us now on the line. Frankie, welcome to Home Victoria, the King of the Prince impersonator.
Hey.
Frankie, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm great. Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, Phil.
Hi,
hey.
Frank.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, Lord, listen to that old shady voice. Did you hear that shady hello? My God.
Hey, I'm on the East Coast, so I'm doing the thing, okay? I'm being a East Coast boy.
Not now.
You know, Frank, this is Victoria again. Thank you so much for being here. And I was going to say when people said, hey, Frankie, do people do that to you all the time? Do you ever get tired of that?
What, hey, Frankie?
Yeah.
No, not really, because I just started. My mom and my grandmother used to call me that when I was a boy. So you know, it's kind of like brings back a nice kind of feeling from, you know, being called that as a kid. You know, it's just nice. It's nice.
Aww. So tell us about your involvement, how you met the Divas, so you kind of round everything out for us as we continue this discussion tonight.
All right, cool. I just want to say that the people that I'm working with are the best of the best, okay? We've been around for over 20 years. Everybody is a master at what they do. And, you know, when people like that are all on the same level, you're going to eventually meet at some point because you kind of got the same kind of energy. And, you know, I met Phil in April and Gary long time ago. I think they already told you guys that. And we just basically kind of were seeing each other in and out of our careers, meeting up and doing gigs here and there with each other or running into each other from previous gigs or whatever. So we've already were on the same energy link. And, you know, this gig brought us all back together again, and it was needed. I mean, it was needed here at Resorts. They needed some life in this casino, and somehow the universe kind of got us all together and said, okay, we're going to put you guys here and bring some joy into this place, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep. Wow. That sums it up, baby.
Yeah, and, you know, we did our thing here. You know, they're going in a different direction. We did our thing. It was a blessing of a gig. I mean, we got free room and board, and we got paid, and we were in where we worked. We all only had to get on the elevator to go to our job. It was a blessing. I mean, like, people in the entertainment industry would kill for a job like this that we got.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, we all know it was a blessing, and we're going to go on to further blessings from here. You know, this was just a setup to get us to another place. Everybody has their own little thing that they have to do, but I'm sure at some point we're all going to come back together again because we are on the same energy frequency because we keep meeting each other as years go by and we keep coming back and, hey, how you doing? How you been? And we're doing a show together now, you know, and it's been like that throughout the years. So I think that this group has some kind of a connection in the scheme of things. We all are connected. That's why we keep meeting up. You know, and Carlos is the new addition, but he has proven himself to be one of the best lookalikes. That J Lo that he does is just dead on. I mean, dead on. And his Madonna is great.
Thanks,
Frank. We've seen him get better and better and better at his craft since he's been here. And you know, me being the choreographer of the show, I was able to work with him and find out what looks best on him. I wasn't trying to tell him that he has to do everything exactly like the people he imitates. I said, what do you want to do to make you look good on this part? Or do you have any steps that you want to put in? And I did that with everyone. I did that with Phil, Patti LaBelle, April. You know, Gary is his own entity, so I can't touch him.
Gary, is that true?
Yeah.
Totally different.
At least not the way you want to be touched.
Exactly. So, but, you know, everybody's very well, like a big family. I mean, we are. We have our arguments every now and then, but we get over it, and then we make up, and then we're back to making people
Absolutely.
Happy and making people smile. That's what we're here for.
Well, you certainly do.
Frank, I'm glad that you touched on what it is that all of you brought to the hotel, because that was something that, you know, we didn't really talk about. And I think that is something that really deserves to be talked about a little bit more, because, you know, really, when you think about it, you know, in terms of the main entertainment, I mean, that it was the Divas, you know, I mean, that was
right.
The main booking for the hotel, that was the show. So what is it like for you to think about, if you think back on the years, I mean, like, you know, the thousands of people that came through that hotel, they got a chance to see you guys. And the reason why I asked that question is because when Michael Kay and I started putting information out that all of you were going to be on the show tonight, I just started getting emails in my inbox saying, oh, my God, Victoria, or people referred to me as the news lady. Oh, my God, news lady, you know, and this person lived in, let's say, Utah. When I lived on the East Coast, I saw them, you know, or, you know, so there were people from all different states that, you know, talked about being in Atlantic City and having the opportunity to actually to see the show and how much fun it was.
That's cool. That's what we do as artists. We are put on this earth. No matter what kind of art you're doing, you are to touch someone's soul or make someone smile or make someone feel good. That's what the artists do in the world. That's what our job is, and we've been doing that I mean, when people come up to us after the show, and we get nothing but compliments from beautiful, beautiful compliments about how we brought back a fond memory for someone, or, oh, my daughter loves this, or, you know, that's what we're there for. We're art. We are art. That's what we are. Dancers, singers, actors, even like people like you guys on the news. You guys are touching people in a way that they can escape from their everyday 9-to-5 routine, and you bring we bring them to a level of present moment awareness, which means they are so into the moment watching someone perform or watching listening to someone sing or watching someone dance that people really want to be in the present moment, but they don't know how to. Us as entertainers are able to bring them into the present moment, and where there's no problems, only thing that's going on is you are watching something that's making you happy. That's what we're there for.
Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you, Frank. This is Carlos. You know, there's since I've been part of the show, I've been amazed how much there's so many people that come to the table when we're signing our posters or programs that they have a memory of something that they remember. You know, because music is such a big thing to anybody, and it touches everybody in different ways. But when they come to see a show and they reminisce, you know, they just remember that song, and they're like, oh, my God, I remember that song, and I remember how that performer used to perform it.
Yep.
You know, they're touched, and they're so, you can see in their face how excited they were to be able to experience that, whether they're seeing the actual person or not. And, you know, when you bring that and you transcend that to your audience, it's really rewarding for us as performers. We always want that feedback because you know that you've done your job. You feel like you've given them something to take home and enjoy it, you know, and that's one of the things that everybody in the show is able to do and capable to deliver, and that's what we want. We just feel rewarded when people are so happy when they leave the audience or the show, and they believe they've seen the artist, and it's, you know what I mean? It's just it's an amazing feeling.
Somebody else want to jump in on that?
Yes, I have heard this comment a few times in the years that I'm working, not just here. I remember I heard it years back in Toronto when I was doing Lacage. This lady approached me and she said that they had lost someone in the family to an illness, and that her mom was taking care of the dad for like a year, and the mother never went out. She said, Mom, it's your birthday, Dad's gone. You know, let's start living again. And the daughter came up to me and she said, my mom hasn't laughed in over a year, and this is the first time you made her laugh.
Wow.
I said, you know what, that's really a nice feeling that, you know, somebody can go through a horrible experience and be homebound because they're taking care of a loved one, and then they finally come out and they have a good time on what, you know, the jokes that I told. It really makes you feel great. It makes you feel very, very good about yourself.
Yep, that's right. Right. It's all about that expressing love through what we do and getting it back. It's an exchange of energy. You make someone feel good, they're going to do something to make you feel good. That's how it should go anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, I think the love can actually be shown and appreciated by everybody. One person who is not here is Mr. Jason Cosmo, who does Marilyn and Dolly. And since we're just goyles talking about stuff, let's throw some compliments Jason's way. He does a fantastic Marilyn, and as Dolly, I thought he was actually quite precious. And again, if you want to talk about expert lip syncing too, I thought his performance was fantastic. Phil, let's go to you. Jason's not here, so he can't listen to us. He can't even bitch at us. So, you know, quite frankly, what are your thoughts on Jason's performance?
Oh, you're not asking me that question, are you?
Oh, I am, girl. Let's go there.
We kicked him. We had when we were looking for someone to fill that spot, you know, there was different people, and I thought, you know, Dolly Parton, he looks good. He was a little raw when he came in, but that's what we do. We somebody who comes in when Carlos came in, come on, we got to do your hair, you know, makeup, you know, your eye, you know, this lash may work better, and that's what we do.
Was Jason very new to the company?
He came in about a year after we were open, I guess.
Okay.
I think it was within the first. I think right after the first 6 months, because
was it 6 months?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
the first
about
six months
into the first run.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
After Bette Midler left. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And what I loved about this show was, especially when we put J-Lo in, it's like it's a little bit of everything. We've got Latin,
yeah.
We've got rock, we've got mm-hmm. soul, we've got
Broadway,
we've got country.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of something for everybody. And not everybody likes everything, you know. They sit through, you know, you got to sit through your other acts and stuff. But on a whole, I love that, you know, I'll get some young kids, you know. I went back and I watched Liza on YouTube because I didn't know who she was and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those 20-year-olds think I'm fucking Kris Jenner. When I hang out at Pro Bar afterwards,
that's
funny. Hey, Kris Jenner.
And you have,
I want to go ahead and
Joan Rivers in between.
Absolutely. I want to go down the line. We have definitely seasoned performers here who have been in the artistry for decades and stuff like that, preceded by a super troupe of drag queens of the likes of Lipsynka, RuPaul, Sybil Brunchen, Dame Edna. Let's start with Gary. Gary, who would be your favorite drag queen of all time that you kind of think that, wow, this girl's really got her shit together?
I very much admire RuPaul. I really do. I got to meet him a couple of times. I got to open for him years back, about 8 years ago at Gay Pride Fest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I was in Aruba, he came down there to film something, and he wasn't in costume for the weekend, so no one really, I mean, they didn't recognize him out of the costume, and he was just a great guy. Another one that I really admire, female impersonator, I have to say, is Jim Bailey. I mean, when I was a kid, I saw Jim Bailey, and he was on TV doing Judy Garland and singing, it was just uncanny. It was just, I do that little, a few jokes as Phyllis Diller, and he did Phyllis Diller years ago on the Lucy Show. It was great. He's great. I would say those are my two favorites.
Absolutely. I also
have to say Jim Bailey. And I got to know him back when I was working here in the early 90s, and because he was working up the street, and we got to be friends, and just an incredible talent. Again, dedication to, if I'm going to do, that's how I felt. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. I'm not going to go out there and make a damn fool of myself. You know, I have to look
Absolutely.
As the best I can and just give it to them. And sometimes I'll go out there and the audience isn't fired up for whatever reason, especially those matinees when they're not drinking. But you just got to give it to them and try to grab them. Well, you know, we are better when you're drinking.
Phil, let's go to you. Same question.
Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was you.
About,
oh, where's Eddie? Is Eddie
yeah,
still online?
That was Jim Bailey for me. Was everything.
All right. Eddie?
Eddie, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you
Eddie,
are.
Eddie, favorite drag queen of all time?
I'm going to say Dame Edna.
Thank you. I think she's fantastic, too.
I think she's fantastic because anytime you can have a career that lasts that long, and that's what we're all striving
mm-hmm.
to do, is continue to work no matter how aging we're aging. You know, I'm almost a senior citizen now, and I just admire her because I got to actually experience, he came to Detroit and did a whole week, and I went every night
wow.
to the performances because I really wanted to just see. And I just loved it. I just like the ideal of having a longevity in a career. I think in any given field, especially for us, because now most of our characters are really getting up in age, and the fact that they are, you know, I think Gary and Phil and I always talk a lot, and we were talking even with Carlos and Frank about how a show of this caliber wouldn't have like a Diana Ross in it, but you have to remember that, you know, she's an aging lady, but it's still the fact that we're aging with her as our character. So I have to give my respect to the one who's left, who's been there the longest.
No, absolutely. Plus, you have to understand that you're all representing icons. Gay icons, but icons in the entertainment industry. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Carlos, let's go to you. Same question. Favorite drag queen?
Oh, well, I definitely have to say, on my 18th birthday, I came out to this club in Orange County, California, and the first two drag queens I've ever saw in my life were Rasha and Chanel from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right, yeah. Chanel's pretty
stunning. Chanel, I thought, the first time I saw Chanel was as Barbara Streisand. I thought it was pretty brilliant. And, you know, eventually, the more I came to the club, I saw him do other things, and I thought it was the most awesome thing. And then that kind of sort of, I don't know, I wanted to sponge everything, and I admire everything that Brian does, and then Rasha too. But as far as, you know, also impersonators, I know I haven't been around for a long time with impersonators, but I was actually part of the cast of the last part of La Cage in Las Vegas, and the people that I got to work with there, impersonators, were people who have been working with La Cage for a very long time, many, many years. And even up to now with, you know, working with this cast, everybody has been an inspiration. So, you know, I'm a sponger. Like, I sponge things, and I take a little bit of everything and of everyone, and everybody has an inspiration. So I can't say I really have a favorite, but, you know, it's just everybody. It's been awesome to know what they do and learn from, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Lastly, to Frankie, favorite drag queen, favorite impersonator, you take it.
Can I say Tim Curry?
Tim Curry, yes, but you've done,
you know,
Tim Curry before.
Yes, he does him very well. He impersonates.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I got to go with Tim. I know he's not a drag queen, but he does what he did in Rocky Horror. Well, you know, I mean, kind of like in a certain way, but what he did in Rocky Horror was that character that he did is what actually made me get excited about being an entertainer when I saw that movie for the first time. And I was watching it, and I remember I was bored. But then as soon as that elevator opened up and he turned around, it was like my spirit woke up. I was like, wow, who is this? You know. And then by him being so, I'm going to say, uninhibited and sure of himself and had that big, bad ego that he had, and he could back it up, that made me get excited about wanting to be in show business. So I gotta go with him. I mean, just because of my personal, my personal connection that I feel like I have with that Rocky Horror character that he did. So
yeah.
I'm a little off, you know, but I'm off on what you guys are talking about. But that's my guy.
Well, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing you some panties, that's for sure. But
hey,
there we go. Anyways, we're running out of time, guys and gals. Gary, I want to thank you so much. Where can people go ahead and find you and keep abreast of what you're doing?
You can follow. You can check all of us on our Facebooks. Mine is Gary D, D-E-E. And each person can tell which Facebook, and we will keep you informed on what's going on.
All right. Sounds good. Eddie Summers, where can we find you?
Under April Summers. You can look at me on YouTube. It's about 25 different performances of me for all the talk shows that I've done, and you know, at the Apollo and stuff like that in New York. All that stuff is on YouTube under the title of April Summers, and put the number 1, and they all pop up. So that's a good way of seeing some of my library of work that I've done.
Sounds good, Phil. Where can we find you?
I'm not sure yet. You may find me here on the East Coast, or I might head out west. I'm not sure yet.
Any social media sites you want to go ahead and boost?
I'm all over Facebook all the time, and and YouTube. I have a bunch of videos up there on YouTube, which is, you know, you can always see that.
Fantastic. Carlos, where can we find you?
Yeah, just Carlos Rodriguez at Facebook. I'm there. I'm constantly there, so, you know.
All right.
I'll be there.
Well, ladies, I again want to thank you so very much for providing me with such a fantastic summer. I don't know if any of you know about this, but my husband died last year in August, and we return to Atlantic City every year. This is my first year back, and you guys made my first year back with a dead husband fantastic. So just between you and I and the Great Blue Sky, seriously, you guys lifted my spirits beyond. You delivered and restored my faith in humanity and kindness and the ability to do really good drag, and I just can't thank you enough.
We thank you very
thank
much
you.
For having us. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Frankie, don't go away. We're going to go ahead and debut Frankie's song, actually. Frankie, now this new song of yours is called I See God. You've written it with Ian Wood. And tell us a little bit about the inspiration for us.
Well, the inspiration actually came out of nowhere, like it usually does when you're writing a song. And as I was writing the lyrics, it just came out of me. I'm serious. It was a spiritual thing. And I was writing the lyrics down, and the melody came to my head as I was writing the lyrics down. And I was like, wow, this is a deep message because people are, like, looking for God through religion and certain kind of cults and stuff like that. And it's right. God is right in front of our face in the life that we see. God is in every life form that is alive on the planet, because it can't be alive unless the Spirit of God is inside of it. The energy force of God is in it. So I said, I wanted to write a song to let people know, hey, you don't have to look for it in a church or under a rock or up in the sky. I mean, it's everywhere. Everything that's alive is God and having an experience in that life form. That's what I believe. And it's more of a universal kind of a message, and that's why I did the video too, because I said I want that message to get out there. That's a good positive message, and I think that it'll make people when they see it, not make them, but suggest to them to appreciate the beautiful life around them, because you are looking at God, because God created everything that's alive. So there it is, right there in front of your face. The sun is God. You know, the rain, everything that's alive or that brings life is God. That's what I think. And I think you can find that in any spiritual book that they all agree on that too.
No, I definitely agree. I want to go ahead and make a big thank you to everybody in the chat room, all our new guests, along with Catherine Taddy and Shannon Sibbald, co-hosting on the chat room from the UK. Victoria, I love the show. I want to thank all the girls, Gary D., Eddie Summers, Phil Craig, Carlos Rodriguez, and especially Frankie Bonifaci with the song we're going to be listening to. But Vic, didn't we have a good time tonight? I mean, this was hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys, for just even having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and just for you to play my song is a blessing.
Frank, don't go anywhere, because I do want to say this, because I'm always thinking in perspective of my life and what I do as a journalist, and it really kind of dawned on me as we were having this conversation. Is that I really feel like, you know, all of us kind of made a little bit of history tonight on At Home with Victoria, because this is, you know, very, very cool that, you know, your last show there at the Resort Casino is on September the 27th. And how wonderful was it to have all of you guys, minus one, to be on a show, you know, together, you know, to talk about joy, to talk about, you know, each other, and that you're all here together. I mean, that's sort of something that I always think back on, you know, because I'm always thinking 10 to 20 years ahead. So it will be wonderful when, you know, fast forward when other celebrity impersonators are out there doing their thing, and then they get to look back and say, oh, you know, I remember, you know, Frank when he did this, and then you Google your name, and then, you know, this show will pop up where they can actually hear your thoughts and hear all of your thoughts and what you think about your industry and what you do. So right. I thank you for that, because I always think about those things. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Anything that I do that's good and you thank me for it, I actually give that credit to God too. But, it, you know, it came through me, but it's still God. God is love
absolutely.
To me. It's everything alive. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to close out with Frankie Bonifaci with I See God. You can go ahead and check him out on YouTube/ICGod or YouTube/FrankieBonifaci. For At Home with Victoria, I'm Michael Kay, your intimate co-host, and Victoria. go ahead and say your
thank
bye-bye.
You. Good
night, everybody. Have a great night.
As we argue and we fight, little do we know it's not about who's wrong or right. We lay aside our hatred, we have to warm, we fall from sight. 'Cause when I look into your eyes, I see God. When I look up to the skies, I see God.
With Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.